This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. If you've been tuning into the show recently, it's likely you know that this year is Forest Park's 250th anniversary. We've discussed a good bit of the park's history and attractions from grown-up perspectives, but there's a whole lot about Forest Park that has kid appeal, more than enough, in fact, to write and illustrate a book about it. St. Louis and Ian Sullivan knows a thing or two about that from personal experience. He's the author of a new book for children titled How Forest Park Was Made, and he's here today to talk about it. Ian, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So, you were a kid once.
Yes.
And
feel like that.
Sources told me, and you grew up about an hour outside St. Louis in Washington, Missouri.
That's correct.
What were your experiences of Forest Park in childhood?
Yeah, so growing up, I was definitely one of six kids out in Washington, so in the countryside of St. Louis, but most of my family's from St. Louis. So we spent a lot of time out this way. Anyway, we're back in this area now. But as a kid, well, I was one of six kids to a single mom. My dad passed pretty early. So we were one of six kids, and Forest Park became a little bit of an escape, a place where we could go and romp around and climb on things, like the gorilla at the zoo, that big bronze gorilla. It became a safe place where my mom could just unleash us in the city, and we could go to the science center, we could go to the zoo, we could explore and learn and just be kids. So it became a very sacred place for me as a kid. And that's why I was always kind of messing with different kids' book ideas and story ideas based in there, because in my head it was such a wonderland where we all in St. Louis know of it as that crown jewel. But for me, it was something just a little more intricate, a little more magical.
Yeah. And I understand that you have been a writer and illustrator since you were a child. I mean, did any of what you described translate into things that you put into book form when you were a boy?
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many different, there's a lot of Easter eggs in here, first of all. So right at the top of it, a lot of the magic that we wanted to come through here was very much inspired by that childlike memory in Forest Park. So the combination of the photography was not just to push history on kids, which is always a good thing, but it was meant to kind of invite kids into that history using a little bit of the cartoony illustration that itself is kind of childlike and simple and approachable. And it became a way to kind of invite them and meld these two worlds into that moment. But more specifically, to answer your question, yeah, there is one page that I love when I go on school visits and I tell them on the planetarium spread. It's got that dinosaur on it. And I go, hey guys, I cheated a little bit on this spread. Can anybody tell me how? And they can't guess it. They guess something and you're like, oh no, that's just a mistake you found. but where I cheated was actually growing up when I went to the Science Center, actually before my dad passed, I remember being there with him and seeing that dinosaur and just being completely blown away. Because as a kid, you see it on movies, you see it in shows, Land Before Time, all that stuff. And then you see this dinosaur at, you know, quote unquote, at scale. And you're just completely blown away. And so I tell them, oh, I had him, because that was such a magical moment for me, I broke the rules. I had him cross the street and come over to the planetarium.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But also, my daughter will tell you that she's the little girl on the front, because she very much is. But sneaking little things that are those magic insider kind of family experiences at Forest Park into the book were important to me, so that whether or not families and kids knew about them, they felt it as they were flipping the pages.
Why did you feel like this book needed to be made?
Yeah, totally. Beyond the emotional attachment to the park itself, there was which is where it really, just to be honest, began. Is I just had so much love for it that I was writing a story around it, and then I crossed paths with this guy Josh at Reedy Press, who was the publisher of this book. He leads that team, and we really started to pull back and look at how much history there was to unfold, then we found he recommended this book. It's Catherine B. Anderson and Carolyn Laughlin. Forest Park is the name of the book. It's a big, thick book all the way up to about 1985. And you have all of this wonderful text and all of these little pieces of history that nobody talks about or has heard or seen. But the one thing that didn't exist was a book for kids. And for me, having that experience as a kid, seeing all this wonderful history and those dots not connecting to celebrate all of that tenacity that happened, all of these adults who had a childlike wonder as they looked at Forest Park and said, ooh, we could do that. We could do that. That's what we all strive for in building a community in a city like that. So we wanted to kind of bring that story, that history, to that childlike sense of wonder, not only just to be aware of it, but to inspire them as you get bigger. These are real people in your city that did real things that you benefit from today, and they're no longer with us, but their impact and their legacy is, mm-hmm. and you get to enjoy that, and you can do that.
Yeah. When you were visiting Forest Park as a child, and then, you know, in your older years, middle school, high school, even young adulthood, how much of the history were you aware of? You know, did you collect it sort of as you made these visits? Did you hear it from other people? What was that like?
I would say as a kid growing up, I don't know that I was exposed to as much of the history. You pick up on little bites, like the World's Fair. I had a great-grandmother that lived to about 103, and she would tell stories about the World's Fair and being there. And she probably was about four, so I don't know how true the memories were. Mm-hmm. But she had pretty distinct memories that she recalled of that. So that was an event that always stuck with me because I thought that was kind of mind-blowing, for lack of a better term, that my great-grandmother was there for that. So that I was aware of. But in terms of the people that went in and the accumulation of ideas that resulted in Forest Park, I had little to no awareness of. I was just celebrating it on those school visits. And of course, learning about things that these places like the Science Center, while I didn't learn about the history of it or how it came to be, I of course learned so much in these places. So they're facilitators of knowledge and wonder, but little to no information growing up about how they became those places.
Mm-hmm. Well, this book may be a step in the right direction for
sure
kids,
hope.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, the book does pull from archival photography from the Missouri Historical Society. Ian, did you go in seeking certain images, or was it more of a discovery process?
That's a wonderful question. Yeah. Basically, what I was handed over was a link and a name at the Missouri Historical Society, and they were ready to help. But we started digging in, and we knew, kind of reading through that book about two or three times, you start to kind of track, okay, what are the moments? Because there's so much you could talk about. And there's so many moments in here that you couldn't squeeze in because you have 32 pages to work with and spreads. So we picked the places and the people and the moments. And then it became a matter of finding the photography within the Missouri Historical Society kind of archives to find those photos. And then it became, because even still, there is so much photography. Mm-hmm. With the zoo, as one example, there's just so much there over the last decades that we then became a matter of creating some criteria for it. Of if this is going to be historical photography for kids and we're going to meld it with cartoons, we need to have some rules. We tried to do some photos where there wasn't any character, any people in it, and it was a little difficult to kind of connect the cartoon characters and get people. So it became a sense of all of the photography has to have some childlike wonder to it, whether it is seeing the lights. That's one of the few that doesn't actually have people in it until we put cartoon characters in it at the World's Fair at night, because it itself is just so wonderful when you start to think about what is happening there. That's the first time they saw a building lit up. But with few exceptions, all photos had to have the kids piling on top of one another, wrestling or play or skating on the ice rink, or stealing mom and dad's pots and pans and collecting water and playing kitchen out in the lawn. So everything tried to have a little bit of that sense of wonder to it. But it was definitely a lot of filtering through an immense amount of photos.
Yeah. You mentioned your daughter and her her stating, maybe, that she is the one on the cover, the front cover of this book. Were your kids and other children part of the process of drafting things? I mean, did you show them, you know, in that thick book that you mentioned, you know, Forest Park, did you have them look at things and pick things out?
It was less a matter of having them pick things out, because they will absolutely always have an opinion. And they're such smart kids. So it would have been wise to have done that. More than anything, they were over my shoulder as we were creating the characters. And I really looked to their reactions in if they were giggling or not, or if they were like, oh, wow. Then if they're looking at this picture, that to them, you know, to me, I have the context of that photo, and I'm sorry, I'm pointing to a photo of the World's Fair at night on that spread. It to me, with historical context, is beautiful and magical, because I know what didn't exist at that time and what existed that night. But kids don't. So as soon as I saw them look at that and be like, oh, wow, then I knew I had captured at least that sense of wonder at that time. The other thing, though, there were different sketches throughout that my daughter Audrey will absolutely tell you that she drew.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so she actually caught me signing books the other day. She goes, what are you doing? I was like, oh, I'm signing copies. Sometimes people want me to sign. She goes, well, that's kind of silly. I'm like, yeah, it feels a little silly sometimes. She goes, well, did you sign it, Ian Sullivan and Audrey?
Oh, okay.
I said, no. No, I didn't. She goes, that's rude. I helped.
She's claiming her piece.
So, you know, now 50% royalties go to my daughter, Audrey.
Okay. Well, as a parent myself, I feel like a lot more than 50% of
yes.
goes to the child or the children.
That is so true.
We're speaking today with Ian Sullivan. He is the author of a children's book called How Forest Park Was Made. It's published by Reedy Press, and it is a book of photographs, of illustrations. And are these there are some collage elements here as well?
Yeah, so there was a few inspirations, and I wish I knew the gentleman's name, because he was one of a few, but there was an artist who had a lot of these kind of composited imagery piled over each other and then kind of graphic colors over top. And it was a very kind of retro style, and it was a little more over the top than we wanted to go, but that allowed us the freedom to say, okay, well, let's start clipping some of these photos out and layering them. So not only are we just embedding cartoons into and over top of these old photos, we're starting to be a little playful with the photography itself. Anything to make these photos feel as wonderful as they felt at the time. And the gap between the way kids see history and what that moment was like in history, the more we could close that gap and make them feel part of that moment, as if they were sitting in that space looking at them. And the only thing that's different is that it's gray.
Yeah. Is there maybe an example of an historical fact you want to include in this book but had to make approachable for a very young audience?
I think there are so many. It's, you know, anything from the fact that at the beginning, even before the World's Fair had come around, there were 7 streetcar lines and about 2.5 million people were flooded in every year. And that's just to the scale to how many people were coming to Forest Park, even before the World's Fair, even before there was a zoo. That's how much this place meant. As an escape, there was also this great quote that would be irrelevant to kids, but as an adult, as a parent, it's very interesting. As doctors were recommending mothers, pregnant mothers, to go to Forest Park as kind of a prescription for fresh air in the city.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. And then there, the Charles Lindbergh, I put a hint of it on the History Museum spread, but how big of a moment it was to have Charles Lindbergh come on Art Hill and how flooded it. I wanted that image in there so bad, I just couldn't squeeze it in. Mm-hmm. I could only get a nod in there, but it's incredible to see all those people on Art Hill flooding in. So there's just so much. There's so much wonderful moments.
So you have been doing a fair bit of classroom visiting and reading the book. And the text here is in rhyming. Rhyming style. Did you choose that because you were thinking about perhaps kids being able to remember what they were hearing especially ones who are not at an age where they can read by themselves?
Yeah, I think so. The honest answer is in publishing books, it is often recommended not to rhyme for kids' books.
Oh, okay.
It is very interesting because I think because most cases when people are trying to do that, it doesn't end up very good because they force rhymes, they use words over and over again. So publishers really try to push people away from it more often than not. But just like anybody else, I have a love for it because they are books that my kids love. They're the books that I read and my kids love. So I think part of it was, while it is the case that it helps them remember some of the facts, part of it was just anything to keep them engaged. I think there's a reality, and it's an unfortunate reality in some extents, but it's just the way it is, that history is not necessarily the first thing that kids want to talk about or engage with. So it became a matter of how do I present this wonderful history and important stories about incredible people in our city over 150 years. How do I present that to kids in a way that they will receive and, to your point, retain, but at the very least receive and want to come back to again and again and again? So that was really the sentiment there. Unfortunately, the publisher was all about rhyming too, and we had nice editors to back me up. So I will not claim that I have risen above any inability to rhyme perfectly. There was wonderful people who helped make sure that they kept me in line.
Yeah. After writing this, Ian, have you been experiencing Forest Park differently?
Absolutely. Oh, man. It's something as simple as going to play tennis with my cousin. We would go play tennis, and you cannot help but notice the names that are on things that you use as mile markers, but they're more than mile markers. Those are, they're there for a reason because they're commemorating something. And for the longest time, I would see these names and, again, use them as a mile marker. But now I see them, and I do remember that I'm here playing tennis because Dwight Davis decided that, hey, we need to get these keep off the grass signs out of here. We want to let people roam and run and play and bring the soccer balls and the baseball, the golf balls and get them out on the fields and use this land a little bit differently, just like the predecessors, his predecessors had done with the Muni and other places. Mm-hmm. So it's hard not to now, and somewhere like the zoo too, to realize once you read about the humble beginnings of a couple deer and some birds, and you're like, wow. Just like looking around, now they've got dinosaur exhibits, they've got the monkeys that can climb over top. I've got great pictures of my kids with the monkeys over top. And just to know where it began and how it got here and mm-hmm. all the people that took their vision and ran. And yeah. Boy, did they run. It's beautiful.
And in 20 seconds, yeah. How would you like to see this book used?
I don't do anything in 20 seconds. I'm so sorry. I would love to see it. I would love to see it become a book that kids read in schools before they go on those field trips. I would love for teachers to be pulling this book out and saying, hey, before we go to the Science Center today, before we go to the zoo today, let's take a second and think about how it came to be. That way we can go there with a sense of gratitude and appreciation for those who came before us and made this beautiful place for us.
Ian Sullivan is the author of How Forest Park Was Made. Ian, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
You can join Ian Sullivan for story time, trivia, and a book signing this Saturday at 11 at Main Street Books in St. Charles. For more information, check out our website. That's stlpr.org.
This episode was produced by Lila Halil-Boshich.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Doerr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.